Everyone, it's Christian Fuchs here. I would like to say a big thank you to our fans and keep having our back for the upcoming Premier League season as well as the Europa League. Keep watching Leicester Fan TV. They have the latest news and they keep you up to date on leicesterfantv.com. So stay tuned and thanks for your support.
It's Monday night. It's a very good Monday night. Three games in, three wins. Leicester City are top of the Premier League as ever. This is Leicester Fan TV. We are by the fans, for the fans. We want to know your views on yesterday's 5-2 thrashing at Man City. We want your comments about it. We want to know which you think was the best goal. Could you believe it? Do you still believe it today? Get your views in. Get your comments in. This is your Fan Zone show. Join me and get your views in. Yes, what a good day it has been today. A good day yesterday. Don't forget, if ever you want to get your comments in there, good afternoon, good evening to Gray. I can put them on screen. Matty is watching on YouTube. We are live on YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, you name it. We're live there. So please do get your comments in. Ross says, never, ever, ever, ever write Leicester off. How many of you, let's be honest, how many of you, when Riyad Mahrez scored that, and it was a quite brilliant goal, when Riyad Mahrez scored that goal, how many of you thought, here we go, 4 minutes in, we're 1-0 down. How many is it going to be? Gray says, do you want your apology? Yes, Gray, put it in full and I'll put it on screen. Hello to Kieran. Good evening to you. Thanks for watching. Wayne is a little bit worried about the injury he's got. Wayne, we will talk about that, but let's start with all the positive stuff. Auntie Karen Kennel says, good evening. What an awesome game it was. Could you believe, Karen, that was going to happen? Chris Guthrie is saying, I'm sure I've watched the highlights too many times today, but I can't help it. I agree, Chris. I'm going to watch Match of the Day again just to see it. James wants to talk about Youri Tielemans. I think he's been our player of the season so far. Is it a bit early, James, to talk about players of the season after three games? He has played very well, and it is much, much better to see Youri Tielemans looking like the player we saw when we got him on loan. Dave, good evening to you, says, good evening. What a fantastic win yesterday. Yes, Dave, did you believe it after 4 minutes? Which was the best goal? Hi, Maxine. Thanks for watching. What a performance, she says. Which was the best goal out of Riyad Mahrez's or Madison's or Jamie Vardy? We had a debate on that yesterday. I want to know your views on it. Excuse me. Ryan says we need to take it game by game and be consistent this season. Well, Ryan, so far, so good. 3 out of 3. That is what we want. Jack, thanks for watching. Don't forget, like and share the videos, Jack. It was the best chance, says Jack, of beating City yesterday with the injuries they had, and we achieved it. Yeah, I think that's fair enough to say it. Kieran says, what about Tielemans' pass to Castagna? What about Castagna? But I agree, what a pass it was. Adele says, an outstanding performance. Hope we play like this all year long. Thanks for watching on YouTube. Matty Bond says, we were lucky. Yes, I can't remember. One of the Man City players did come out and say, I've seen some very derogatory comments by some players and some of the media by saying, you know, we were lucky. I think we only had 7 shots, but we scored 5 goals. As ever, they want to talk about Man City being bad and not Leicester being good. Wayne says Madders was good. He did look good. Wayne, what do you do with Madders now? Do you put him in the starting lineup against West Ham or do you keep him on the bench? Let me know your views to that. Danny says Pep who? Indeed, Pep who? Mendy is playing good so far. Yes, he is, Matty. I agree with you again. I mean, Ndidi's out for 6 to 12 Is it games or weeks? It's a long while, Ndidi is potentially. So it's just as well Mendy's playing well. I know Jamie from the Fox's Arms sent me a message earlier and he says he wants to know what you guys all think about Daniel Amati. There's all this chit-chat. Should we go and buy Tarkowski, Fofana, blah, blah, blah? Have we got Daniel Amati? Will he just slot in there? Will he play at centre-back? Have we all forgotten that actually he's not a bad player? So what are your views on Daniel Amati? Do we need to go and spend 50 million or do we just say a bit like Sanka? We've already got that player waiting for you there. Mick, Thanks for watching. How are you? Hope you're well. Jono on Periscope says, can Ricky P play left? I don't know, because Daniel was amazing there. So what do you do with right back when Ricardo is back there? I do not know. Reese says we were clinical, not lucky. There's no luck there yesterday at all. Dave says, after the fourth minute Mahrez goal, I thought we might be in for hiding. Dave, I totally did. I'm with you. The counsellor, good evening, says Mendy and Tielemans ran that midfield. Brilliant teamwork. They certainly did. Adele says Emati was good for someone who didn't play since 2018. He was, before he got injured, he had a few good games there. Good evening, Jason. And Mick says, keep Emati. Ian Broster says, how good was Emati yesterday? Nearly 2 years out, and I thought he had a great game. Gray saying that Ricky P, will play on the right wing. And LCFC Gray with his comedy routine says Man City were definitely marooned. Listen, I've got Sinky joining me. Let's see if I can get him in there. John Sinclair, the legend that is. How are you, Sinkster?
Well, I think we've all had a brilliant Monday. I was talking to my neighbour earlier. One of her colleagues is a Man City fan, so she said the day was just brilliant, just winding him up all day. but it was a day of specials, wasn't it? First time Man City have conceded 5 goals under Pep Guardiola, and the first time we started in this division with 3 straight wins at the start of the season. It can't get much better than that, can it, really?
Well, it can if we win against West Ham, John. It could be 4 on the trot.
So far.
And I'll be pulling that Premier League trophy I've got over there here and getting excited, but not yet.
Have we decided what we call Jamie Vardy's flick for the goal? Because there was some debate about what name we should give it on TV last night.
I know. He did score a very similar one for England against Germany. Germany?
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah, it was very similar. Just a bit further out, actually. But what a clever goal.
It was. To be fair, John, I mean, we had the debate straight after the match yesterday. I thought that was the best goal yesterday. I thought it was better than Maddison's, although Maddison's was amazing. I even thought Riyad Mahrez's was pretty darn good. Which was the best of those three for you, John?
Well, it had to be Vardy's, simply because it's so unusual. And it's a technique I've never seen before. You know, he scored him twice with that sort of goal. Yes, Maddison's was top corner brilliant. Mahrez was unstoppable, and yeah, we're all a bit nervous after that. But I have to say, for technique and everything, it's got to be Vardy's flick.
Ross, now, John, will you get this? No offence. He says we should call it the WKD, the wicked flick. Do you get that?
Oh, okay.
It's because Vardy's reputation is that he drinks WKD, the drink.
Oh, does he? Oh, I did.
The Alka-Pops. Well, okay. and Red Bull, amongst other things, of course. But that's what. That's not bad from Ross. It's not bad. Tom not says, bad. Should we call it the Vard's flick? Andrew Turlington says, everybody needs to calm down. We still need 31 more points, John.
Yeah, but look, we've got to enjoy wins like that. You don't mean, you know, last time we beat Man City, 3-1 at their place, we went on to win the title. Me and you exchanged messages about that yesterday. It's obviously too early to start talking about that. But why not feel good for a couple of days? We've got West Ham to come Sunday, so let's bask in it for a little while.
Yeah, I agree, John. I agree. I mean, I don't know where you start with yesterday's performance on who was the best player. What were your views on who was outstanding for you?
Well, I think, obviously, you know, Castagna, we talked about him already, you know, very, very solid down that right side. And you mentioned Pereira coming back, but it's great to have those sort of choices to make. And he can play on both sides, although Justin had a pretty good game on the left as well. But it was interesting watching Brendan Rodgers talking after about it. He's usually against playing kind of that system of 5 at the back. And he kind of thought about it and thought, well, maybe this would fit because they can play quick on the break. And Man City just weren't ready for it, were they? You could tell, really. A number of penalties we won and so on. But I think, you know, credit to him for looking at it and thinking, well, if we can just soak up the pressure. Obviously, you can't allow for a goal like Mahrez being scored, but they kept them at bay and they broke and they made the best of it. And certainly on TV last night, you know, they were looking at Man City and saying, well, they've got to do something. Obviously, they're looking to sign a new defender. But, you know, Brendan Rodgers, you've got to give him credit for the way he set up and the players understanding what they needed to do.
When Riyad scored and after 4 minutes, John, what did you think?
Well, I thought, well, here we go. But I mean, it was a worldy shot. I mean, I think defensively we were quite solid, but you can't allow. I mean, that was just a brilliant hit, wasn't it? Before even Soyuncu could get to him, it was in the top corner.
What do you do about that? No, I mean, it was a great hit. Hitesh is saying here, talking about the West Ham game, and somebody else earlier, forgive me, I can't remember who said it, but have said we still do we look a bit naive from corners and that at the back. And they scored their second goal, obviously, from a header. What did you think to Daniel Amati in the team yesterday? Could he be the new centre-back for us, John?
Well, I mean, I've not thought about it because obviously Tichowski from, you know, we were talking about Burnley, we may put in a better offer for him. And I think players will look at Leicester now and think, well, if they put an offer in for me, I quite fancy it. But yeah, if needs must, I suppose. But it depends how often we're going to play that system. But he did okay. But if, you know, Johnny Evans went off, if suddenly we want to play four at the back and you've just got, you know, Wes Morgan obviously on the sidelines, do you need another option? That's what I'm saying. And could he play in a back four? Well, you might be a bit more concerned about playing in a back four, might you, rather than a back five. So I think if we go out and buy another centre-back, I think I'd feel more reassured that we got the options. And I think Brendan Rodgers wants to do that anyway.
Yeah, I think he will. I think we will still try and get a centre-back in. But it was great to see it. Amati's not played in nearly 2 years, John. Just before he got injured, he was having a nice little run of games for Leicester, Amati was. And then that's a horrific, I'm struggling to say it, injury that he had that took him as best part of 2 years to get back.
Well, that's right. And of course, you know, having the odd utility player that can fit in a number of roles is very useful. But I still think I'd like to being in a centre-back per se, just to add to the numbers in that area, given the amount of fixtures we've, you know, got coming up, Europa League and so on.
Mick says here, and I think it's worth talking about Youri Tielemans. When we signed him on loan, John, everybody was saying, you know, he's the new Messiah, he's amazing, we must sign him. And then, to be fair, after spending 40 million on him last season, I don't know. Listen, I can't talk about people's weight and how svelte they look, but Youri Tielemans looked last season a little bit sluggish, like he was carrying a little bit, maybe. And I think over the close summer season, he looks like he's lost weight. He looks sharper. He looks faster. The through ball he put to Castagna. Youri Tielemans is suddenly starting to look every bit a £40 million player, isn't he, John?
Yeah, he looks like he's kind of settled. It may be the amount of people in the club from his country.
Do you think that helps? Yeah.
I think it does. You know, we signed yesterday, you know, Castagna's come in now. And he just looks like he feels at ease with what he's doing now. Like he understands it. And he looks like he's enjoying his football. And what a good penalty that he scored after Vardy went off. And he looked really, really pleased with that, didn't he? You know, bottom corner. Can't ask for anything more. We talked about, you know, Ndidi being out. We're all worried about that. Let's hope he gets fit as soon as. But Mendy came in, you know, and made a nice move to get one of the goals, you know, play it out to Barnes and so on. But, you know, Dennis Pratt wasn't in the game as much, was he, really?
No, and obviously he did go off injured as well. So yeah. I think we're waiting to hear on the injuries in more detail. Somebody was just saying here about Youri Tielemans. We were saying how good he was. Did Tielemans have a new baby last season? Maybe he was just knackered last season with lack of sleep. I think sometimes it does take. I mean, we've got Castagna, who's like been in Leicester for 13 days and had three amazing games and looks fantastic. And maybe sometimes it takes players a little bit longer, John. Not everybody settles down straight away.
Well, there is an element to that, I think. But Castagna coming in, we mentioned the Belgian factor, that's probably helped him. But he looks like he really enjoys playing for the club, doesn't he? He can get forward. You know, fullbacks are good at that. And that's a good thing about, you know, when you're playing three in the back, you do need them to do that. And I was a bit worried early on that we're getting pushed back and they weren't really breaking up. But we did manage, after we soaked up some pressure, to do that. But, yeah, what a good signing. And you think about it, you know, Chilwell goes and everybody goes, OK, fair enough, you've gone. And then we bring in somebody else, you forget about it. You just go, wow, what a great player.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie Vardy, where do we start with him yesterday? Well, apart from the fact, John, he did look a bit miffed off when Tielemans scored the penalty. I don't know if you saw, they cut to him in the stands and he was a bit like, I should have had four today.
Well, yeah, but like, you know, nothing he could do then. Yeah, he wasn't to know. Yeah, I think he stayed on and he said afterwards that there's not a problem with the injury. It's just something that happens to him from time to time. But Vardy was just special yesterday. I just read actually somewhere, you know, he's had five shots on target this season and he scored all five. Nobody else in the Premier League has done that.
Yeah.
And he had the minimum amount of touches in the game.
He had about 15 touches yesterday, yeah, exactly. Didn't he?
And you're thinking, wow, you know, what a player. And fittingly on the back page, I've got the Times here, you know, big picture of him on the back page. I'm sure most people have been really enjoying reading up the reports. And to be fair to the Times, they've given Leicester credit. I often feel a bit kind of, oh, it's all about Man City not playing well.
Yes.
But at least they've given Leicester some credit because it can get annoying, can't it? They talk about the top,
yes,
the big six and so on. And that just gets annoying after a while.
Show us that back page again, John. It looked like a pretty good photo the Times have got there.
Him running away celebrating.
Yes. But what's he say? Vardy ripped City to shreds or something?
Yeah, Vardy ripped City to shreds. That's it.
Yeah. Exactly right. I think that was pretty much what happened. Of course, fans will start to say, well, it should be. Gareth Southgate was there watching yesterday, you know, but it's Vardy who said he doesn't want to do the England thing anymore. But if he keeps going like this again, Golden Boot last season, why would a national team not be begging the Golden Boot player to come back?
Well, you'd expect another phone call to go in to say, are you sure?
Yeah, please.
But with the amount of games that, you know, Leicester have got, I think the Matt, you know, Brendan might be a bit, not really sure. But it might, I don't know. Personally, I'm hoping he just stays with Leicester. But if he did decide to go with England, I wouldn't be against it.
How about this from Ross? I'm going to put it on screen. Raymond says Vardy is an amazing player. Ross says Belgium trio are Belgium chocolates and Turkish delights and the English breakfast in Vardy and Barnes. I think Ross is losing the plot a bit. But Harvey Barnes again yesterday, to be fair, John, he just needs a bit of end product. He is looking more exciting to me every game. He's got pace, he's dynamic, just needs that final. Some point, he's going to start scoring some of these goals because he is threatening to look really good.
Yeah, we talked about him, you know, he's still growing into it a little bit. He's still quite a young player. You know, Kyle Walker kept up with him a little bit yesterday as well. But you're right, you know, he can break through. Link-up play is usually quite good. Didn't quite work for him on occasions yesterday, but he's got that promise. And I think against other teams this season, he's always been a bit threatening. But, I'm sure they're working on that constantly. I think we've said this before, where we know that the promise is there. And certainly if you listen to pundits on TV, they look at him as the potential England player of the future as well.
What we're going to move on a little bit to Maddison again. He scored a wonder goal yesterday and starting to look back to full fitness, which is good for Maddison. He'll be keen to get a start soon, John. But what do you do again? You can't really just drop somebody and put Maddison in, can you, against West Ham?
Well, I mean, Dennis Pratt might not be fit. We don't know, obviously, what the situation there is. And if you're going to keep with, you know, Mendy and Tielemans, you could probably throw Maddison into the mix there as well. Because you would imagine, because they might look at it. I mean, good win for West Ham, of course.
Against Wolves. Wolves not doing good, yeah.
Obviously, their manager is watching from the distance we are because he's gone down with COVID, as David Moyes. But I don't know, it depends on the team selection, whether they go back forward. I would imagine they might go to a back four. Depends on Johnny Evans. And depends if we sign anybody in a week and they come in quick enough. We've obviously got the new signing Under. Is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's just Under.
I thought it might be. Somebody said Under somewhere yesterday.
It doesn't sound fancy enough, does it?
Under. No, it doesn't.
Under. Yeah.
Anyway, he might come into the mix because he's going to have a week of training now. So wait to see what happens with that, because he obviously plays on the right, like Mahrez used to do, and cuts in.
He was waiting for international clearance, I believe, so I'm not quite sure when that comes in.
Well, he started training this week, so that might be, he might end up on the bench. But I think Madders could go in because he played the whole of the game in midweek, didn't he, in the cup. So yeah. it's obviously getting fitter. It will depend on the system that the manager wants to play. But I wouldn't be too surprised if we get 90 minutes out of him against West Ham.
Yeah, Zach, who's watching from the States on YouTube, says, I would see Madders starting against West Ham, but yeah. Time limited, so probably 50 minutes. LCFC Grey says Maddison is great coming off the bench at the moment. Chris is alluding to, again, some of the media. Michael Owen saying Vardy's not a natural finisher, which is just ironic. I know. Well, there was all sorts of comments, John, of people after the game saying stuff. So Paul says it's a scary thought the way we are playing and we've still got four of our best players not really in the first team. Ricardo, Ndidi, under Madders. For 20-25 minutes yesterday. Go on, John.
Oh, yeah, it's credit to the manager, the way he's obviously working with them. And he says, you know, as well, I go back to this, that he's, you know, trying to look at each game individually, put out the side he thinks can do the job. And so far, so good. Three wins out of three, you can't ask for more than that. And the goals, he would be scoring goals for fun. A little bit as well. Obviously, tonight, probably after this, I'll be watching Liverpool-Arsenal. Could do with a draw there.
Yeah, about to kick off. We'll finish and we'll go and watch that, John. Before we do, though, obviously, I always say every season, it doesn't matter whether we're in League One or the Championship or the Premier League, I think the first 6 to 8 games sets you up for the season. And you look at Sheffield United, 3 games, 3 defeats. You look at Wolves, had a dodgy start. I think they've got 1 win out of 3 and are down in the bottom. West Ham is winnable, but this start is... I know we're starting to get a bit excited and that's too early yet, but like Claudio Ranieri would say, the quicker we can get to 40 points, the more we can relax and the more we can enjoy this Europa League season, John, which, don't forget, Friday is when the draw is.
Yeah, that's right. So... you know, it's obviously been a bit harder for Tottenham because they've had to play, I think this week, they've got a game in the Cup tomorrow and then they've got Caribou Cup, if I can say it, Thursday. So he's probably going to play a second team, you would think, tomorrow night because obviously they're under pressure there. But yeah, we've got that to look forward to. Obviously going out of the League Cup, I think we both accepted we're not too bothered about that.
No.
There are other things to concentrate on. Especially if we're going well in the Premier League. And I guess for most fans, that's going to be the key thing, if we can keep going there. I think one of the worrying things as football fans generally now, is a big lot about this in the paper today, is the future for clubs underneath the Premier League that are struggling financially. Obviously, they're looking for a Premier League to help out the EFL clubs. And the government are now looking at situations. The Premier League are now saying that... if you want us to help out, we want reinsurances about fans going back to the stadium. So there's a bit of a standoff there. There's a big debate with fans online today. I was reading, and I was only thinking, if somebody said to me, could you put £100 in a pot and that will go towards helping EFL clubs out, I probably would. Who would run that? I don't know. But I don't know how other fans feel about it, but I certainly feel that, you know, I remember going to, like, say, I don't know, Grimsby, where Muzzy scored an overhead kick.
Yeah.
And you go to grounds like that, and you don't want them to disappear. You don't want the heart of of that town or city to disappear. So I don't know whether fans can do something themselves.
I think it's a good idea, John. And if anybody's watching and wants to put comments on, do, and I'll put them on screen and we'll read them out. I know, John, I'm maybe talking 20-odd years ago, and I think it still goes on in the Spanish and Italian leagues. They had what they classed as feeder clubs, the big clubs out there. I can't remember off the top of my head. Barcelona had a feeder club, which was effectively a different club, like in the second or third tier. They were never, ever going to come up. But and really into it, although in the English league it can happen. You almost wonder if Leicester should have some sort of affiliation with a lower club and help support them through the hard times, you know, and work that way and put some of our players over to them at times. And then, you know, you understand what a feeder club is. Could that help?
Yeah, I suppose the question is if fans put into, like, let's say fans put into a fund, who would run it, who would decide where the money went and so on? Or do you say, you know, Southend are in trouble now, aren't they, financially? Yeah, I'll put money in and it will get fed to X club and Leicester pick a club and so on. Obviously, the Premier League clubs have got pots of money. The players have got pots of money. That's been talked about as well. But I think we need to find a way, before the fans come back, of saving some of these smaller clubs. And I feel quite passionate about that. But I would like to kind of do something, but I don't know how I could do it.
I think it's great. I mean, Ross says here, the days of Scunny away and Barnsley away was amazing. Yeah. I remember going to Scunthorpe away, which was great. I do remember going to watch Leicester play at Barnsley on a school night with my two lads who were in there, should have been at school the next day. And we won, I think we won 4-0 and we had an amazing, it's probably in the last 7 or 8 years. But I mean, Leicester, it's not that long ago we were going to some of these small clubs, John. And Mark Charles says he's up for sticky 100 quid in a pot to save lower league. He says it's a great idea.
Yeah, we've got 30,000 fans that go to a game, you know, across the road from where I live, and they all put in a little bit of money. So, you know, we could raise a bit of money and it could get, somebody's got to take charge of that and decide what to do with it.
Paul says he's not going to help Coventry, Derby or Forest.
Fair enough, mate.
To be fair, I think Coventry needed some help for a few years. It's been quite nice. I do, obviously, I've run bits about the Leicester fan Twitter, and occasionally I do stir the pot with Forest and Derby fans. At the weekend, I was pleased to see both Derby and Forest are 3 games in each with 0 points. So we did put out a few tweets to the Forest fans just can't, they can't resist telling me on Twitter that they don't class us as rivals, even though they're constantly at us on Twitter. They only care about Derby. And I said, well, enjoy your relegation battle with Derby, because and Coventry are up towards the top of the Championship.
Yeah, can't tell, can you? I kind of miss those playing those sort of games. Maybe we could draw them in a cup or something. That'd be quite good. But
yeah, I guess
I do miss those kind of local derbies a bit.
But I guess, John, that sort of shows you the English Football League, which is why it is the favourite football league in the world, is that if Leicester fans were to take on a feeder club, you never know, in 3 or 4 or 5 years' time, they might come from League Two up to the Premier League. We've seen it with, well, we've done it from League One. Bournemouth have done it. You know, Luton are doing good. Coventry have come back from the death. Leeds have done it now. So it could bite you in the bum if you play your feeder club.
Well, okay. It just depends how you distribute. Like, this is what I'm getting back to. You know, if you get a pot of money that fans put into, is who decides. You know, if you've got clubs on the edge of going out of business, then they might come first. Some are surviving better than others. And obviously, you know, if you buy in season tickets and you kind of accept, I mean, there's somebody today who said, I bought my season ticket for the season, I may not go, but if it helps the club, fine. So there's going to be an element of that, because people want their clubs to carry on. But some of them, if they've got a capacity of 20,000, might only regularly get half of that in the ground. So it's deciding who needs the money most, I guess.
Yeah, Mark's saying, and it's a different way of doing it. He says, we helped Luton, didn't we, by giving them millions for James Justin. Again, maybe that's what some of it might have to be. But Chris from Leicester Till I Die says, maybe we should have Man City as our feeder club.
Very good.
Being a bit cheeky. Listen, John, thanks for joining us. We'll see you again, hopefully next Monday. We'll see if we've done a quick score prediction for Leicester against West Ham.
West Ham, I think a 3-1 win for us.
A 3-1 win. All right, John, thanks for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Okay, cheers.
That's John Sinclair. You all know John Sinclair. Thanks for joining us. Let me add him out and put me back in. What are your score predictions just before you go? It's nearly 8 o'clock. Let's see if we can get a couple of score predictions in before we go off and watch the next match, which I think is Arsenal against Liverpool, if any of you are watching that. Mick is saying, have you got a note why you're late? I'm not late, Mick. But Mick then goes on to say a 3-1 win. Thank you for that. Thanks, everybody, for watching. It's a great time to be a Leicester fan. Let us see how we get on this week. Don't forget what is on this week. Wednesday night, Fox's Tale is with Tom is chatting to Gary Coatsworth. I should have asked Sinky if he remembers Gary Coatsworth. Are you still there, Sinky? Hang on. Add him back in.
Sinky. Yeah, because obviously I was behind the goal when we played Derby in the playoff. He played in that game, did he not?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yeah, you know. I remember being I remember being cheeky to him as he came off the pitch, because I was behind the goal and interviewed the players afterwards, after that game. But yeah, I remember Gary, yeah, played for Brian Little back in the day.
I was trying to explain Gary Coatsworth to one of the other chaps who's too young to remember him. I said, not necessarily one of Leicester's most skillful ever players, but he played with his heart on his sleeve a little bit.
Yeah, I think I took the mickey out of him for some reason. I can't remember why.
A lot of fans did, bless him. Anyway, John, I'll let you go. I just thought I'd add you back in for that. Yes, Gary Coatsworth is with Tom on Wednesday. Then Lox is doing his fan zone show on Thursday, where we'll be talking about the West Ham game in more detail, updates on fitness and players, and of course, fantasy football. See how you're doing in that. I had a rather good weekend. Those of you who've got Jamie Vardy in will be with me, especially if you like me. I've got him as your captain. Obviously, it's match day on Sunday. We've got the aftermath show with Jamie from the Foxes Arms, and then we've got our match day live pre-match, halftime, and post-match show, which keep getting better each week. Join us then on those. From me, Phil, thanks for all your comments. I'll see you very soon. Cheers.
Welcome to Leicester Fan TV. With special thanks to our pals at ADT Taxis, Feed Me, Piglet's Pantry, Tiger, Leicester Garage Conversions, Pink Vehicle Leasing, Hologram, The Fox's Arms, Moyer Weight Interiors, our chosen charity, Memphis UK. We bring you the fans' views on the match each week, and your views matter to us. Join the fans debate each match with us. Follow us at Leicester Fan TV.